No Jumper, the coolest podcast in the world, and today I am in here with hip-hop royalty, legend in the game, overall dirtbag.
True. It's all true.
All true?
It's all true. It's all true, man.
Jack Thriller is in the building.
Let's get it, baby. Let's get it. No Jumper, man.
How you feeling?
Yo, I'm happy. I'm overjoyed like Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
You know, I'm on your show. This that new hot shit with the thoughts. You know what I'm saying? The brand new rappers, people that we don't even know exist.
Mm.
But you do. You on the post of the culture. And I'm trying to get on that side of the fence, bro.
Right.
I mean, I'm overjoyed.
We got to get you a little OnlyFans girl.
I mean,
not too low.
If you don't mind, I love me a good OnlyFans girl. This is one that I like right now. Honey, I think her name is like Persephone or some shit like that.
See, there's 10 billion of them, so I have no idea who you're talking about.
But yeah, there's a million. There's a lot of them. She's so busty.
Really?
Oh yeah, she's hot.
You a titty guy?
I'm more of an ass dude, but she got some big ass juicy titties. I'm talking about the ones that'll make you want to beg for buttermilk.
Mm.
Come on.
It'd be like that sometimes. No, but see, this is the thing about you that I find very interesting. You's a horny guy.
Very horny. Oh, it's me so horny.
Yeah.
Oh, me so horny.
You met like
me fuck you short time.
When I met you in New York, I was with some of my other employees, and you guys became friends on Instagram or got each other's numbers or whatever. And one of them is just in the back of the cab, and he just goes, "Bro, why is Jack Thriller sending me mad pictures of bitches?"
Like, oh, that was an accident,
you
man.
You met the homie, and you just started sending them pictures of hot girls right away.
Hey, man, I was trying to, you know what I'm saying? He was new in town, and I was trying to see if he was trying to get some self-service over here.
Well, we were looking, and it's like, it doesn't even seem like Jack knows who these girls are or anything. It looks like these are just pictures that he found out of a straight stunt magazine or some shit.
Some of them be like that, and I know a couple of them, too. I know a couple of them, too, man.
Right.
We friends.
Yeah.
Cause I got girls.
You're a horny guy, man. That's all I'm saying. I've been working on my Brian Pumper documentary.
Ah!
I swear, you and him cut from the same cloth.
Hold on, time out. So you really gonna do a Brian Pumper documentary?
It's really just a 35-minute YouTube video, but it's pretty in depth.
Okay, yeah.
Talking about as much as, honestly, if I reached out to people who knew him in their private life,
yeah,
I would be able to make it a lot more comprehensive because, like, just the other day, I met a porno dude who told me that his friend slapped the shit out of Brian Pumper. And I was just like, oh, damn, that's a whole story. But I don't want to get into, like, unreleased news for this video. I'm going to stick to shit that's, like, already been on WorldStar.
Bruh, hold on. I think you should make him a little Lifetime movie, though.
Mm.
He has so many different layers, so many different stories. And that him getting the hell slapped out of him, I'm pretty sure that's not the coup de grace of Brian Pumper's story.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
But you used to be a shooter. That's how you came in the game, right?
Yeah, yeah. I used to be a shooter for Brian Pumper. And whatnot, you know what I'm saying? I used to be bodyguard. I was also, you know, just part of the entourage and whatnot. It's been plenty of times when people tried to fight him, and I let him.
But how'd you meet him? Because, I mean, there's so much to the story, but we could get into, like, how Jack Thriller came in the game in the first place. But how did you meet him, and how did you end up working with him and shooting people for him?
Oh,
which is just a joke, by the way, in case anyone.
No, I shot a couple of people for him. I definitely shot.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely caught a shot because they was gonna kill me for being with him.
Mm.
So I had to end up. He ended up got like default killings and the vengeance.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because my life was in danger.
Well, you know what's crazy though is that the other day I'm talking to like an older gangster type guy out here, street dude, and I was like,
y'all got a lot of them,
infinite. And I mentioned Brian Pumper, and he was like, I'm gonna tell you something. Brian Pumper, back in the day, he had all the bad bitches. That is not what it looks like on his Instagram now.
No.
But at a certain point, he was running shit.
Yeah, yeah. He don't like to work hard when it comes to, catching hanging fruit, low hanging fruit and whatnot. He doesn't like to work hard. So, and I'm on that type of time too, but I got a little bit more standards than him because he pimping hoes.
Right.
That's not what I do.
Right.
I'm fucking people with pussies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So in the process of doing that, you know, I like who like me, but it's got to be somebody that make my ding-a-ling happy.
But that's so true that like as men, there's a lot of different ways you could go about it. You could just be, I know some guys who they got no interest in low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
they only go to the top of the tree,
yeah,
the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
They only want the Nicki Minaj, the Beyonce, you know? Mm-hmm. Me, I was never that.
Me neither.
Anybody at the bar, basically any person in there who's a woman.
Yeah.
It's going down.
Yeah. If it's some good old heterosexual sex.
Yeah.
You know, me and my man Gabriel Hart, we was talking about that yesterday and everything, just the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
If it's easy, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
You know, in the long run, you're going to have some a lot of broke-ass problems and stuff that come along with the low-hanging fruit. And
right.
If you really don't like them like that, I really wouldn't trade my time off to be like having to hang out with a bitch that you don't like for a weekend, a week. It's hell, bro.
Yeah.
It's hell. Have you ever flew a bitch in and shit, like for the weekend and shit, and then you didn't like her after about a good 2 hours?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day. But the thing that has changed for me is that my temperament for what I can deal with as a person is so much smaller now that if there was a girl in my house that was annoying me, it would be over. I'd be like, you got to go. Like, I can't do this. Like, you're annoying. Like, I got to go.
Yes.
But back in the day, I would deal with all kinds of crazy shit.
All kind of. Yeah. What's the most craziest shit you dealt with, which you wouldn't normally do? You wouldn't do that shit now.
The year was 2005. I had an all-white, brand-new Diplomat shirt, $40, maybe on Canal Street or some shit like that. Brand-new Diplomat shirt. I know Eugene knew, but I had the Diplomat shirt.
Yeah.
Kicking it with this girl. Bitch, we're at the corner store. She's getting a hot dog, and I, like, said something that pissed her off. She just sprays me with the ketchup.
You're
all over
bullshit.
My brand-new shirt.
And what did you do?
I was in disbelief. I just could not. I tried to leave her and go back to my house, and she ends up following me back to the house. She's like begging me for my forgiveness and shit. Then we get back up into the crib, right? We start hooking up. And at this point, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I can't believe I'm even hooking up with this girl after she just did this to my brand new Diplomat shirt. I can't believe it. She fucking grabs my head, pushes it down to her pussy. I'm not one to say no. I start eating the pussy.
Oh, you enjoy that.
She comes.
That's your pleasure.
She's over it. It's over. I make her nut, and she just immediately is like, oh, okay, yeah, like, I'm done. Like, I'm like,
what? Hold on, cut.
I'm like, I'm not getting some top after this, even with the ketchup situation.
Get the fuck. Oh, she used you for head.
Crazy.
And then, like, just like, I'm out.
And ruined my shirt, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
When I think about that now, I would have probably, like, called somebody, like, yo, this girl, she got to die.
Yeah, 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 man. You wouldn't have been wrong for it. Hey, listen, you know, it's pandemic going on right now. It's a lot of out-of-work hitman and everything, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of out-of-work hitman. Yeah, yeah. The money's wrong, so they suffering, too.
Hit me and Jack up, because we got a lot of work that we could offer y'all.
Most definitely. What's the most? What do you take for murders? For assassination, good old fashioned hit. How much would it take for you to do that?
I'll pay about $2,500 for that.
$2,500. That's pretty good, max.
That's kind of like a going rate, though. I hear about people getting killed for $2,500 all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Most
not
definite.
Like specifically, but I've heard, you know.
But see, the problem is when you pay
$2,500 body.
The $2,500 murder like might come with. Somebody else getting shot, the motherfucker staying in town and whatnot.
Turn around, go right to the cops, just tell them.
Like, you really need to know what I'm saying, up your game when it comes to them professional hits and stuff.
Mm.
You know, unless you're killing homeless people.
Oh, no.
If you're killing homeless people, the investigation probably not going to be that crazy.
But you know what is crazy? Like, real talk, like, I've known rappers that then I like went and like read about their court shit and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was like the smut on their name was that they had ordered murders and spent like $2,500 on that shit. And like, that just trips me out where it's like, holy, like I could be living like that. Like, so somebody could just diss me on Twitter and I could like that. That's how they're living. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. That is fucking nuts, man.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was just talking about this the other day. I'm kind of not like having a problem with getting that chip in me, like, you know, when we get that vaccine and whatnot, I might take it for the chip. Cause what if I'm one of those people that's supposed to get murdered, and but then they take my body off and whatnot, and then they want to chop it up or some shit like that? I want people to find my body.
Right.
I don't want to be a missing body.
Mm.
You know, so that's what my rationale behind taking the vaccine.
No, I respect that. Yeah, imagine that, if they could like figure out who killed who just because like the microchips inside your body, mm-hmm. like you basically like
recorded audio.
Your microchip was near his microchip during mm-hmm. this time period, so it clearly was him.
Yes,
and that's how they figure it out. It's like imagine when it gets to the point where all the government has all the information, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and they don't have to like, you know, try to piece shit together from mm-hmm. a camera and all this stuff. No, it's like we're in the video game and they know exactly what happened in the video game.
They can see it through your eyes.
Truman Show your shit.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're going. I think that like in a hot 20 years, the world could be on some shit like that.
Definitely. Yeah,
definitely. I'm not afraid of the future.
I'm open to it.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel right now? Like, because you in a really good position. You live a comfortable life. How is the pandemic, like, you know, fucking up Adam 22?
It hasn't really fucked me up. It was actually weird because I already was very much in the mind state of stay home, go to work, do your job, go home, kick it with the girl, because I have a baby on the way and everything. So, like, for me, you know, I've been very much, like, living the life of a man who's kind of staying around the crib, locked down. I haven't been going out to parties. I haven't been going to bars. I haven't been going to clubs. I haven't been doing all that shit for like a couple years now. So it pretty much was like, oh shit, like now I get to stay in the crib and like kind of do the things that are more antisocial. I have plenty of antisocial hobbies. Go ride bikes with the homies. It was like a little social, but you know, they're around a couple of your friends. You know, I play online poker, mega antisocial. So like, you know, I have all these things that I could be doing in the crib that realistically are very fun, but then, it's not me going backstage at Rolling Loud.
Right.
Which,
right.
When I do that, really good for content for the vlogs, good to meet people, good to, like, you know, met a lot of cool people in situations like that, but also a lot of stress associated with it because you don't know who the fuck you're gonna run into, you don't know who got an issue with you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, now just the other day, like a week or two ago, I went to a skate park, probably took pictures with like 10 kids. And I just realized in my head, like, I haven't done this thing in a while. Like, pulling up and taking a bunch of pictures and being, like, Mr. Cool Guy. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in 6 months because of the pandemic.
So, is it like, did it feel like it's a new high when the kid, like, the first time you had people to come up? Oh, yeah. Shit, Adam 22, Adam 22. Did it feel like that again? Did you get, like, oh, they really love me. They're really watching. Yeah. They really fuck with me.
It's nice, I guess. Yeah, I'm kind of like just used to it at a certain point. Mm. Actually, more of my emotions are like, oh, we're not going to be able to be here too long. Because you see them hopping on their phones and FaceTiming their homies and being like,
you better get down here right now.
These dudes are all here at the skate park. You're going to pull up. I'll, you
know, bring your album.
Yeah.
Bring that little thing, the little chip shit. Bring all of your shit right now. Adam 22 is there. Hey, let me ask you this question.
I love how this interview has been turned around on me pretty quickly.
Do you like that when people come up to you bringing they CDs and everything?
Cause
you people know you for breaking motherfuckers. So I know you got it way worse than me.
That will never work for me. Nobody's ever gonna walk up to me and like hand me a CD or a USB drive, just for the record.
Nobody would. Why not?
No, they can. They can try. It's just not gonna happen.
You don't accept it or none of that.
I mean, I might take it, throw it in the trash 10 minutes later. No offense. It's just not. It's just way too much coming in for me to even think about, like, oh, a CD, I'm gonna listen to this. Like, are you fucking serious? I don't even have a CD player. Where am I gonna put that?
Yeah, yeah.
This is not happening.
Yeah, that shit is weird as fuck. Motherfuckers bringing them CDs, man.
That's
like, did you get just got a DeLorean or something?
Yeah, I feel you. You know, I know what you're going through. But it's not gonna go down like this.
Right, right.
All right, let me interview you, motherfucker.
Oh, man,
you keep
I'm sorry
asking
about that,
me questions. No, it's okay.
I don't know what this is. The habit like a motherfucker, man.
I like it. No, all right, so where the fuck is Jack Thrill coming from?
Man, I'm coming from Miami.
That's where you started out.
No. Oh, no. I'm from Decatur.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Born in Albany, Georgia. Raised in Decatur, Georgia, in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was thinking, I'm like, oh, yeah, you ain't a New Yorker.
No.
But you're a Miami? I didn't think you was a Miami
kid. No, I thought you was asking where I was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you came from Miami to kick it with us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to eat medicated pizza here on
And it's medicated pizza
Let
right
me
here.
Just serve myself up a slab.
If you don't mind.
I got to throw one on here, bro.
I made it myself.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
We're going to get more into this later, but tell me a little bit about this.
This is Stone Pizza, man. It was created by my homeboy Chris Barrett 3 years ago. He used to do them high profile dinners with lobster steak and all that and whatnot. But it's really expensive. So afterwards, you know, people would still be hungry like 2 in the morning or some shit. and whatnot, so that he would make some pizza, and it caught on. It was cheaper, you know. We have it takes like $6 to make a pie. Mm-hmm. We medicate it, and then we sell it for $60.
So what is this equivalent to? Like, is this gonna get me fucked up?
Hey, it is 40 milligrams of marijuana inside each slice. And it is 320 in a whole pie.
Significant, but not like, I'm pretty sure I ate like 1,000 milligram chocolate bar back in the day and almost died. So I think I'll be all right.
You're going to definitely be all right because you're a heavyweight.
Mm. Big dope. You smoke a lot of weed?
No, I don't smoke at all.
Really? But you fuck with the pizza?
I fuck with the pizza. Really? I needed to. I be having insomnia, so medicated foods and edibles, they help me to go to sleep.
Really? So this is a business that you just got associated with?
Yeah, associated with, man. This earlier this year and whatnot, and it's just taking off. And you know, I got a house now. I got a jacuzzi.
And where? Jersey?
Crazy backyard. No, Harlem.
In Harlem.
I'm in Harlem, man.
Really?
Yeah. I'm in Sugar Hill, baby.
Damn.
Not hard to find. We throw parties there and everything. You know, pizza parties. I let the fans come over, eat pizza with me.
To your house?
To my house.
You let your fans in your house?
In the house. I let my influencers. I got a party with Votto. Okay. Votto, he's throwing a pizza party at my house.
I'd eat some pizza with Votto.
Yeah. Why he's not? A really cool dude, bro. Yeah. Really, really, really cool dude. So, I throw like 3 or 4 parties a week.
Right.
At the crib. Got the jacuzzi there. The ladies, you know, busting out, you know what I'm saying?
Damn, so you get money like that? That's got a house in Harlem with a jacuzzi and you're throwing parties? You sound rich as fuck.
Yes, man.
Nobody has a house in Harlem.
Yes, little brownstone, baby. Ooh. Yeah, brownstone. Two level. That. You know, wash and dry, 3 bathrooms,
you feel like you
fireplace.
Made it?
Yeah, I feel like I made it.
What's the
I got
scummy,
100-inch screen TV in the living room.
What's the scummiest spot you've ever lived in New York?
Oh, shit.
You was a Brownsville guy at one point or not?
Nah, it was always... I stay in a room.
A room.
Literally a room.
It'd be like that.
Yeah. And this shit didn't... apartment that I lived in, it was like 7 flights of stairs, and it was no elevator, and I stayed on the 7th floor. It was equivalent to the that scene where Eddie Murphy first get to New York and shit, and he said, "We looking for very meager accommodations."
Right.
That's what my last apartment was looking like. Yeah, my man Chris, he brought me part of this business, got me this house, man, changed my life, put all the money in my pocket.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I'm getting my dick sucked for pizza.
Damn.
For pizza, man.
Sounds like a fair deal.
Yeah, it's a fair deal. Because think about it. What do women want to do? They want to get high, and they want to eat. I didn't hit both 2 in 1 stroke. And then we got 12 products. We got cannolis, brownies, cookies, garlic knots, sticky icky wings, gelatos, sodas. Yeah.
It's good business to be in. You can just sell any product.
Yeah.
Then you medicate it.
It's medicated.
You're lit.
And I'm trying to bring it out here to the West Coast.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm over in talks with Nick Cannon right now.
Why you go to Nick Cannon before you go to me? Like, you know?
Listen.
We talking.
Hey, bro, I want to go with you too. What's up?
No, let's go. Well, I'll open the Melrose one. Nick Cannon can open one in, I don't know, Burbank, wherever the hell he's at.
Yeah, where? I'm in. Let's do it. That sounds like a plan to me. Look, you got that weed hospital, right?
Hey, tell me about this.
Yeah.
Where the fuck? All right. Give me your entry. We'll talk more about that too in a moment. But give me the entry point into the game for Jack Thriller. Like, we know you as the This Is 50 guy. How'd you get into that position?
Oh, okay. Well, I've been doing working towards getting in the industry since I'm 12 years old. Mm. I was in a gospel play with Rerun from What's Happening.
Really?
Yeah, it was called A Will to Survive. Mm. And then later on, I hooked up with my man Gabriel Hart over there. Mm. You know, he's a stand-up comic himself. Oh, he's also one of the biggest video directors in the world. He did Versace.
So he's
my president is black.
He's not the guy that you did the pizza thing with?
No.
Oh, I thought that he was the guy you were going to bring on later to talk about the pizza because you told me that. Oh, okay.
He's not out here, he couldn't make it.
Whoops. Okay.
Yeah, he was back opening up a store in downtown Soho.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so he had to go back. Right. So I'm alone today. Mm. And I had to cook the food.
I want some medicated pizza. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Okay, but so did you already have the vision as a 12-year-old that you wanted to get in the game?
When I was 5, when I seen Michael Jackson, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to be, but I knew I wanted to be an entertainer. And okay. I just wanted to be great. I want grown-ass men to faint. Jack, Michael, you know, I wanted that. Right. I didn't know how to do it, what I was going to do, but my teacher used to say all the time that I'm funny. I'm a comedian. And so, you know, when I ended up dropping out of school in the 9th grade and whatnot, had to go get real jobs, I went to go to the Phillips Arena to see the Kings of Comedy.
Mm.
Right?
At 12?
No, this is at 17.
That's
I'm out
a good
of school.
Introduction to the game, though, right?
Yes.
There. That
yes.
put you on hard?
Yes. Mm. I watched this. Because, you know, you see Steve Harvey on the Steve Harvey Show and whatnot. And to see him on stage, it was two different things from Mr. Hightower versus...
He was dirty on stage.
He was dirty. Mm. Then it was Ryan Cameron. He opened up for him. Ryan Cameron is one of the biggest DJs in Atlanta and whatnot. And I listened to him every day on the radio. And he was opening up for the Kings of Comedy. And Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer. And, you know, my man, Ryan Cameron, was the opening act. I was like, oh, that's what I am. Mm. That's what I want to do. So I heard Chris Tucker had a comedy club. Went to the Chris Tucker Comedy Club. Went up there and did fairly well. Mm-hmm. Next time I bombed, but I was like, this is the way I want to live my life. This is what I'm fixing to start doing. So I hooked up with my man Gabriel Hart, another cat named Food Stamp, and we was this comedy clique, and we would go around telling jokes, man,
right,
until everybody knew our names.
Right. So you just start going hard on the comedy grind?
Yes.
Right.
And then we was the only skit game in comedy.
What year was this?
This is probably like, Gabe, like 2000? Gabriel, 2000, we got together and started doing skits.
Yeah, something like that.
2000.
Yeah.
So where were you putting them? MySpace?
We was on DVDs.
You didn't have that yet.
Yeah. I think MySpace had just came. It was Black Planet.
MySpace was about 2003, 2004.
No, it wasn't none of that shit.
2004. Yeah.
It was just Napster. Yeah.
You were throwing it on Napster.
No.
That was the era.
Right.
We would download shit off there and whatnot, and we was the only comedians in town that actually was doing sketches and selling them in the comedy clubs.
Right.
Then it's this guy named Roland Powell. He got hip to it and whatnot, and he was like, yo, how y'all do this shit? And he hired my man Gabriel to do the DVD. We wrote the skits for it, put it out. It's called That Boy Funny. Now this guy goes by his name. You probably heard of him, Lil Duval.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so he helped enter you into the game as well, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes, and he was doing his thing at the time,
right.
Opening up for Cedric the Entertainer and all kind of shit. So, you know, me and him got cool and whatnot, and he took me on the road, took me under his wing, showed me how to be Jack Thriller.
Right.
But at the time, my name was Honey Buns.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that name for you.
Yeah, it's with a Z, though, because the Z make it masculine.
Ooh, yeah.
And so you see what it's masculine when you, Honey Buns.
Very hip-hop to replace an S with a Z.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever write the and change the E to an A? That's lit, too.
I never tried that, but yeah, I should have fucked with that.
I remember being a little kid, though, looking at the back of the album covers and just being like, wow, like there's a whole world of different spelling out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's like how I found out about that.
Yeah, and you know a lot of words. You definitely know a lot of words.
I know a word or two.
Yeah.
I got some words.
So, I started like living with my comedy friends, Gabe, Food Stamp and whatnot, and then my other boy, Caesar. And then, you know, sometimes I would be spending the night over at a Lil Duval house in and out for about 10 years. So I was his opening act, bodyguard.
Oh.
Yeah, just a personal assistant, paying my dues.
You were holding it down at that time. You still feel like you could be a bodyguard, or you feel like it made more sense for you at that time? Were you looking at, like, intimidating? I mean, you're a big guy, but.
Yeah, I'm a big guy now, but I look too friendly. Back in the day, I was jacked up, and I was like a lot more crazy.
It's
looking.
About the demeanor too, because it's like now you give off a very fun, positive vibe.
Yeah,
if you want to be a bodyguard, you got to be very much more stoic.
No, I press charges now. That's it. Yeah, I don't give. I would 911 the fuck out your ass.
Right.
I don't have time for it. I'm 38 years old.
Right.
I don't fight. I don't want to beef. None of that bullshit. I don't got none of that left.
Yeah, I got a big knife.
Yeah. You,
You know, so it's like I'm looking to catch a stabbing in 2020 if it goes down like that. You know, like that'd be kind of lit. Like a shooting is a little too much for me. But I can catch a stabbing.
You keep most definitely.
It's like it's intimate.
Man, it's very intimate. But I gotta pay somebody to do it for me.
For real?
Yeah, I'm that type of guy.
I'm trying to do my own stabbing in 2020.
You know what everybody be saying? They you a pussy if you like get somebody else to handle your dirty work. But for that, if you can get somebody to kill somebody or beat somebody ass for you, you doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? You got to protect the president. Somebody got to protect the motherfucking president, baby.
So who have you caught fades for in the game?
Man, I caught fades for Lil Duval.
Yeah? Yeah. Never 50?
No, people didn't kind of even take me seriously in certain places. And if I ever was about to get my ass whooped, I left before everybody got too mad.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been in situations where I had the upper hand. Mm. And then people didn't try me like that either because they respected me as a real nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You never had a phase in your life where you were rolling around with the thang on you?
Yes, when I first got to New York, man, doing comedy and whatnot.
In New York, that's the worst place to have a gun.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of the worst places. I had to shoot somebody. Really? I definitely had to shoot somebody. About 10 years ago, leaving the comedy club, some motherfuckers tried to rob me and whatnot, and I know I bust one of them.
Really?
I know I bust one of them.
And you never found out? You didn't know who the hell they were or nothing?
No.
You have jewelry on or anything? Was there a reason for them to go after you?
Yeah, I had a couple chains on or some shit like that. Some light.
Right.
And then I wore polo boots and shit and, you know, just came up there with my Atlanta swag, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when you look like you from out of town, motherfuckers be thinking you green. Mm. And so I don't have no problem with teaching somebody the true meaning of Christmas if I'm threatened.
Where do you think you put it in? Like in the thigh, the calf? Spine?
Yeah, definitely my spine.
The dome? Where'd you put the bullet?
Oh, man, I had to shoot him probably in the chest. I know I hit him in the chest because I saw him Harlem shake like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I saw him do that shit, and I was like, I was so proud of myself.
You didn't want to do it again after that? You're like, I got to do this more.
I definitely wanted to do it. I definitely wanted to do it again because, you know, just being home, it makes you angry when you think, hold on, man, somebody just tried me. Mm. Somebody really just tried me, man. Right. Somebody wanted to kill me. Mm. That shit pissed me off. And, I'm sorry, just...
I like it.
I was thinking about it again. It was, it's so much I haven't dealt with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, okay, so you're moving around with Lil Duval doing the comedy thing. At that point, are you thinking about getting into hip-hop? What is your interest in hip-hop at that time?
Oh, me and Lil Duval was doing skits and shit on YouTube and whatnot. Right. So, you know, after that, I go do this video with Soulja Boy. The Soulja Boy video, I was Superman in that video.
Right.
And, you know, I just did everything that I could in Atlanta. And I decided that it was time for me to move. Mm-hmm. So I saw what Lil Duval was doing with Grand Hustle and whatnot, and I went up north and everything, and I was like, I'm a fine 50. Mm-hmm. So I started doing these skits and shit, and he posted up the first skit that I ever did, this Michael Vick skit. Mm-hmm. And This Is 50 had posted that shit up on This Is 50. I'm like, oh, this is how I'm a fine 50. Mm-hmm. So like 4 months later, 50 hit me, Worldstar hit me and Vlad hit me. All wanted me to be personalities on their website.
Wow, really?
Yeah, this is in 2010, the top of 2010. So I went with 50 because that's what I came to do.
Right.
You know, and so he made me a G-Unit comedian, threw me on the radio, G-Unit radio and shit, and I started doing the interviews like that and became this hip-hop comedian.
And was This Is 50 brand new at this point?
No, they had been around for about like 3 years.
What year are we talking again?
We're talking about 2010.
Okay.
I think This Is 50 came about in 2008 or 2009.
Because that, like, realistically, that's pretty fucking early. Like that This Is 50 was around, you know, at a time where there was Worldstar, there was Vlad, there was the actual like blogs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not like now where there's a million motherfuckers making content about rap.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it was a very game-changing platform, man.
Right.
And it took my comedy career from 0 to 100 quick. And I finally started making the money that Lil Duval was making back when I was living there.
Really?
And so I was catching up, baby, you know. And Kevin Hart was a really good friend of mine. He would post up all the videos that I would put up on his page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kevin Hart helped me out a hell of a lot. Yeah, yeah, man. Shout out to Kevin Hart. Shout out to Lil Duval too, man. And then what ends up happening in 2012, I heard Nick Cannon was going to be at Gotham Comedy Club. So I go over there, I stalk him at his comedy show. His opening act, Chico Bean, he was trying to stop me because he recognized me and shit and was like saying, I'm like, hey man, you got to get the fuck out my face. I'm trying to holler at Nick real quick. I need to be on Nick's Wildin' Out because I heard Wildin' Out was coming back and whatnot. So I followed Nick into his dressing room and his bodyguard stopped me. Hey, man, where the fuck you going? And I said, I'm going, I'm Jack Thriller. I'm supposed to be interviewing Nick Cannon. And he was like, Nick ran out the door. He was like, yo, Jack Thriller, what's up, man? Hey, I'm about to redo Wildin' Out and whatnot. You ain't even got to audition. And he exchanged numbers with me. Walk off, rest is history.
Wow.
I came up to New York handling my business, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you make it sound incredibly easy. Like, there's probably a lot of people that have gone to New York trying to link up with 50 Cent, and then it just didn't really work. But you figured it out.
I came with a buzz, though.
Yeah.
I came with a buzz. I was with Lil Duval. I had done these sketches. You know, I had been assistant directors in music videos with my boy Gabriel Hart and whatnot. I was assistant director on My President Is Black.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He directed My President Is Black.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no
idea.
So
I knew how to do a lot of different things, from like setting up cameras to breaking it down, gaffing and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when I came up there, it was just easy for me to get around. And I was going to the clubs every night doing stand-up. Mm. So I wanted it. And I chased it. I wasn't waiting for nobody to put me on. Mm-hmm. I put myself on. And so that's what 50 saw in me, is that drive, that ambition. And he knew he didn't have to tell me what to do. I knew what to do. Right. And he said, you know, you use my name, but don't abuse my name.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so that was the trade-off right there.
But was it weird to be somebody who was like a publicly facing, like, did you consider yourself G-Unit? And is it weird at that point?
Because I considered myself G-Unit right off the rip.
Right.
I was ready to die for that shit.
Anybody, right,
come on, man. If you fucking with 50, you fucking with me. If Tony Yayo, all the man with me, yo, who won it? But I was a comic.
But it's not really like that anymore,
no,
right?
It's not that
brotherhood.
Thank God. No. Fuck no. I know. No, whoever wants to kick their ass, they got
really
that
got
shit.
Nothing to do with you.
They got nothing to do with me. Do your thing.
When did that start falling apart from your mind? Because it's like, you know, 2002, 50 really comes in the game, makes a huge splash, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even up to like 2007, the unit seemed like fairly sharp. Obviously, the game riffs and everything. But then, you know, at some point around maybe 2010 is when I felt like you really kind of like stopped seeing anybody really working together at a certain point, right?
Mm-hmm. That, I think that was, you know, just a transition going on. Mm. And, you know, 50 was figuring it out. And then, you know, he was getting more into the television and entertainment part of it and wanting to act more, just focusing on what he had to do. And what people didn't understand is that's 7 years from when he came out. So it's just a lot of evolution was going on in 50 walking in the destiny of being a mogul that he is now. Right. This, from the transition from being a king of New York to being that super iconic Eminem, Dr. Dre entity.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what he is now and whatnot. He was having a rough patch.
Right.
But when I came over there to that G-Unit situation on thisis50.com, I turned that motherfucker up.
Mm.
You know, the red carpets for some of the best interviews you ever see in your fucking life.
Right.
Because it wasn't interviews. It was more conversations and whatnot. I set the tone for a lot of these motherfuckers that's doing interviews on goddamn websites and shit. I'm your fucking daddy.
Right.
Nobody was doing that before me. I did that. I did this to you. All of you motherfuckers owe me some edible arrangements or some flowers. I'm gonna send you a P.O. box. Just send me my
edible
flowers.
Pizza. Send them an edible pizza for some edible arrangements.
Most definitely. Man, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. But
because sometimes you're bitter and you know, don't acknowledge it, but I don't cool hurt me.
You were kind of like too early to necessarily get the recognition for that you maybe deserve and for your influence to be felt in the same way, right?
That's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly right. I was but just the head of the time, and so I ain't make the money. I didn't do the business like the guys that's coming out right now. You know, I'm just starting to make money now. Mm. And it wasn't even off hip hop, it's off pizza.
Right.
And whatnot. But then it still helps out what I used to do. So I'm pumping my own brand now, jackthriller.com. Jackthriller.com. Jackthriller.com.
But you're still associated with This Is 50?
Man, I'm still associated with This Is 50. They cool as fuck and whatnot. They're always going to be loved there. But I'm a man now.
But you're not doing content for them anymore?
No, I'm letting it's a new wave of people coming in now, really? And I'm letting them do their thing and passing the torch on to them. They got that.
You are somebody that put your ass on the line for This Is 50, though. Do you feel like it wasn't fully supported on a corporate level, that all of a sudden there wasn't like a budget for it at a certain point? Like, what happened?
Yeah, they didn't know what it was. Right. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know how to nurture a situation like that. And I was still trying to figure it out myself. Yeah. So, you know, they didn't know what the fuck to do with me. They ain't know what to do with me. I ain't know what to do. Well, I know what to do with me, but you gotta get everybody. I didn't know how to sell them. This is what we should be spending money on me for. I didn't know how to make the business plan to get it off like that.
Isn't that interesting, though? Because now it seems obvious. You could look at World Star, mm-hmm. No Jumper, Academics, and mm-hmm. you could say, oh, okay, like, this is, if you're gonna build a, like, this is the power of mm-hmm. building a platform within hip-hop. Like, yeah. World Star has a crazy amount of power because they have all those followers, because they have all those subscribers on YouTube.
That's right.
And then they get to, like, basically make money through exerting that power. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, like with This Is 50, in those early days, it was kind of like you just had to be making content just out of the love for it, because it was like you drop a fire video, you're not necessarily making a few thousand dollars off YouTube like you would now.
Exactly.
You know, or you're not necessarily able to then go sell a sponsored post for X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like it was at the time, it didn't necessarily seem obvious why it would be important to have a really big website.
I didn't get it.
Social media following.
I did not get it at all.
Yeah.
I just was having fun, and I really wanted to be propel the culture to another level. And I was hoping somebody at this particular point would see me. I wasn't smart enough to go get an agent, or I didn't have anybody that was interested in managing me mm-hmm. that could actually take me to another level. Like, it was, people wanted to manage me, but they couldn't do shit for me. Right. And you gotta, like, kind of be leery of that, getting inside of the business. Is there's a lot of people with managers that can't do nothing for them. The managers riding their wave to find other fucking acts to do. Right. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta get somebody that got connections and can take you to another level. I had a lot of things that was going against me mm-hmm. because I had a glass eye. You know, wasn't the cutest TV friendly motherfucker off the rip. I looked aggressive. I was doing things online that was very reckless. Right. So it would scare away sponsors and advertisers and stuff
you
like that.
You think that the eye has held you back in a way? Like, people judge you based on that?
The eye has blessed me, and it definitely put people in the way they didn't understand the eye.
Uh-huh.
They didn't understand it.
Right.
And they were scared of it, you know. And so, you know, people scared of what they don't understand. So, right. You know, now that I know I'm supposed to be doing shit independently and all on my own and whatnot. And, you know, like at places like this, I stayed there too long. Mm-hmm. I didn't know when to get up and go, goddamn, get back inside the race and finish what I had started. Mm-hmm. I was waiting on 50 to put me on at this particular point, some particular point. You right. feel me? And that was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of time wasted. I should have been taking classes and auditioning, but I, you know what I'm saying, just trying to be down, and I forgot to go do what the fuck I was supposed to do.
Mm.
I forgot.
Because nowadays, it's like, anytime you have somebody who gets a job being on camera for a big corporation or for a corporate entity, they're immediately thinking, how am I going to take this momentum that I'm having built up for myself by this big company? Like, if the kid out there gets a job with a radio station, well, I mean, it's like, if you're a personality on the radio station, you should be using that to also try to figure out how to build up your YouTube and mm-hmm. your Instagram and your platform so that you could basically, like, take another step up in the game at a certain point. Like, you feel like at a certain point you should have split off and had the Jack Thriller YouTube channel and started to make your own content as opposed to focusing on This Is 50?
That's exactly what I was supposed to do. Mm. I remember was my man Pete Davidson, when we was on Wildin' Out together.
Really?
And you know, I was asking him how he had got on this show. He said, my agent. Like, Jack Thriller, you don't have an agent? And I know what the fuck that was and what I needed an agent for.
Right.
And I kept on seeing them, like, you know, advance and going to other levels. Like, you know, what's that show? Saturday Night Live and right. Justin Bieber roast and things that I was qualified to do.
Mm.
And I was just getting left because I didn't go find an agent.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have an agent either. I feel like you get an agent, but, like, most agents probably got more important people to be dealing with. So how am I really going to trust this person to go and do a bunch of shit on my behalf? Although in my case, I'm definitely not doing any of that shit myself. So, I mean, it would be better than nothing, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So I said that, like, that's me, having an agent is having somebody working for me, burning a candle from this end. And I'm still working and doing all that I can do to take my career to another level on this end.
Right.
So, you know, it just meets. And if I ever had an opportunity to be on a reality show or someone's television show because of that agent, I was going to go kill it. I was gonna go kill it, so it will that opportunity would work for me, and making that move to my best move. Yeah,
definitely. Okay, so at a certain point, you know, when I think about like a lot of the most viral shit that you ever had, it was you going crazy on the red carpet, just being there live in effect, like actually at the event, sticking microphones in people's faces and shit. Did you ever start to maybe get the feeling like, I don't know if I want to be putting myself in harm's way all the time? Like, there's something about being up in that situation where anything could happen. Like, is there a reason why you kind of maybe fell back on doing some of that kind of stuff at a certain point?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I lost the vigor. I wasn't the same Jack Thriller. And you know what I'm saying? I had did things that was starting to civilize me, like getting in like a real relationship. And you know, living, yeah. So that when you start caring about somebody else and whatnot, it makes you care about yourself more. And I was just wanting to live for the people that I was fucking with. And I knew I was by myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it started dawning on me that I needed to give a fuck before I get fucked up. Right. And let's not get it fucked up. I can fight. I can beat the fuck out of any. I can fight. So that's not the problem, but I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to fight. And, you know, I don't want somebody to feel like they want to fight me, you know, or that I'm coming for people and whatnot. And then I just stopped getting to the point where I want to expose shit and get the tea on certain things. And, you know, that shit started being whacked to me. And I was like, damn, I'm supposed to be doing stand-up. I'm supposed to be fun and cool. I ain't trying to be controversial. I wasn't thinking about caring about going viral and all that old silly shit. I just wanted to be me, to be the best me. And I just stopped caring about, you know, advancing the way the industry was starting to go and people were advancing.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can get into that mentality of just chasing after viral shit. And, you know, then at a certain point, it was the same with me, honestly, where it used to be me out with my iPhone going out and drinking and partying and wilding the fuck out, going to a different rap show every night, kicking it with different girls every night. And then slowly you start to get into a relationship and you start to feel like, is it really worth it for me to be basically like treating myself like the fucking sacrificial lamb that I'm putting out here for the fucking content as often as possible? It's like you start to realize the gravity of that decision. When you're 20, you're not thinking about the future. You're not thinking about being worried about something. Hell no. But
I want to be owned.
As you start to get a little bit more deeper in the game, it starts to worry you a little
bit. The more real you get, the more unreal it's going to get. Everybody around you start doing things that they wouldn't have normally did when y'all was just on a regular level. But when you start going to another level, people start knowing you, and you start acquiring certain things, people start feeling a certain entitlement to what you have. Like they helped you get there, and they, you know, it gets really unrealistic.
And you were doing fake beefs too. You ran down on 40 Glock?
Yeah, that was a fake beef. That was definitely fake beef. 40 Glock, my man.
Yeah. That was to promote a fight that never happened,
that
right?
That was to promote a fight that never fucking happened.
Right.
And then what was crazy about that shit, bro, is that I was, I like 40 Glock.
Yeah.
He's a cool motherfucker.
Cool guy, yeah.
So I couldn't get mad enough at him to promote the fight to even want to fight him. So I was like, yo, I'm going to get hurt fucking with this shit.
Right.
I'm going to get hurt. I'm out of here. Fuck that money.
It just wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it.
But you did do a fight at one point, right?
Yes, I did. I fought at BX Fight Club.
Right.
And I got peer pressured into doing that. I used to host BX Fight Club. My man Hov from the Bronx and whatnot, he about to go out for 50 and everything. He's helped discover that show For Life that he has on ABC, BX Hov. He did a underground fight club called BX Fight Club. And I was the host of that. And another guy named Pretty Lou. Lou. And, you know, when I would host that shit, I would be talking so much people, so much shit. People were like, yo, won't you get in the ring then? Yeah. Won't you fight? And then, you know, I was like, man, fool, motherfucker, I will. Motherfucker, you think I won't? Man, send me your champion.
Right.
Yeah, so I fought the next week and got my ass beat. I got drugged, bro.
Did that really hurt your pride or anything? Or was just whatever?
No, it didn't hurt my pride. It hurt my body. Mm. It hurt my face. Mm. It hurt my eye.
Right.
Yeah.
The glass eye hurt.
The good eye.
The other eye hurt.
The good eye. Right. Yeah. And that's when I was starting to realize, yo, I'm out of control. Mm. Nobody should be able to dare me to do some bullshit like this. I got my ass whooped in front of Fat Joe, Remy Ma, fucking Tommy from Power, or Rotimi, Dre from Power. Yeah, I forget who. Oh, yeah, Papoose. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. They all saw me get my ass.
Papoose. That would suck.
Yeah, yeah. 50 posted that shit up, you know, yeah. Picking on me, all the bad parts of the fight. But I was beating his ass like the first 40 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
But so that was the end of you sort of wanting to put yourself on display like that?
Yeah, I ain't want no more smoke, Adam. Adam, I ain't want no more goddamn smoke.
I don't blame you, man.
Yeah, that shit hurt.
It looked painful.
Yeah, listen, you know, if the fight would have been over after the first 45 seconds, like fights in the street do, right. I won.
Yeah.
You know, but it's at the ring. It don't work like that.
Yeah, no, there's so many good excuses you can have when you're in a fight in the streets that you yes. can just sort of rely on. Like,
you can rely.
There's so many things happening. There's not a great quality video of it usually.
Yep.
You ever get into a fight and then you basically end up like telling the story of the fight over and over, and you just sort of slowly start to twist the facts in the story to make yourself feel like you did better than you actually did?
Yes, yes, most definitely.
I've been there.
Yeah. And that's how fights used to be. Like, you could lie and say, it was a tie. It was a tie.
Yeah, it was even.
It ain't no video footage, none of that shit.
Right.
That's why I think it's kind of hard for kids to be kids now, because when you getting bullied, you can see that shit and it be living online forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to fucking Italy. Hey, ain't you the bitch that got her head kicked in and shit at the school? That'll follow you forever. If that happened to us back in the day, we would have killed motherfuckers.
Right, yeah.
We would have killed motherfuckers, man.
For your respect in that situation.
Yeah, you can't take no L like that that's going to live for the rest of your lifetime.
On WorldStar for all those millions of views?
Yeah, and your kids going to see it. Mm. Your kids going to know you got fucked up. Your kids going to know you was a thot. Mm. Your kids going to know you so pussy. Mm. Your kids going to know you was a groupie.
My kids are going to know that I was slanging dick on the internet.
You okay?
They're going to figure that out at some point. You think that's going to be a weird conversation? Should I have anything to worry about?
I think it's being like normalized now to the point where people are not going to be too embarrassed about the shit that they see.
It's just weird to think that my brain is totally fucked. And in my head, I think that there's no way that my kid would ever be able to give a shit about that. But then you forget that, like, at the end of the day, you are raising a person that's not as fucking crazy as you are. And maybe they would end up being a little weirded out by it.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be weirded out. The kids today are exposed to so much bullshit.
That's true.
Yeah, so much shit.
Yeah. I can't wait for the first time my kid tries to say, like, hey, I don't like this whole porno thing. I'm going to be like, well, you're going to be living in a one-bedroom apartment in Koreatown if you don't like it. So fuck off. Shut up, kid.
So Adam, you actually did the porn for real, and you showed him your dick.
Well, yeah.
We can go Google your dick right now. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Many times over. Or caught my girl's OnlyFans if you really want to see a lot of it, yeah.
Hold on. Cut. Time out.
No.
So you and your old
still
lady.
Still filming, just for the record.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I didn't think I used to. Yo, so you and your girl, y'all actually is only fan in the right way.
But this is the thing, is that me and my girl are starting a new thing that I cannot reveal the full information about. But basically, like, what I've done right now in the porn game, I'm about to take it 10 times deeper. And it's not all, I'm basically
you're
like,
going to be doing fetish shit?
No. I'm just making a lot more content and not necessarily like my penis necessarily, although there'll be some of that.
You're going to use other people's penises?
We've been working.
Okay.
It's the new fucking thing, man. I'm telling you, I know real business people telling me that they've never seen anything create profits like OnlyFans before, you know? Like, because it really is unbelievable, the idea of, like, you know, you take Bella Thorne. She's, like, a pretty poppin' celebrity and everything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she made, like, many millions of dollars in the course of a day or two for stuff that took no time to produce. And then you start to get into the head of what all these porn producers for all these years, when it was like a fully seedy, scummy, like low-key industry.
Yeah, Dirt Diggler shit.
What they were thinking, like, oh yeah, you make content, you pay these girls a relatively small amount, and then
$300.
So many fucking people want to buy this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild world.
Like, man. For $27 too, man. That's the markup on it is amazing. Like, when I was doing the porns with Brian Pumper and whatnot, he would
pay the girl. Pause. It wasn't just you and Brian Pumper.
Girls involved too? No, I wasn't fucking.
Oh, I thought you were smashing him.
No, my fault. I'm heterosexual. I like girls.
Okay, well, he is too, allegedly.
Yeah. He do what he do. I don't know nothing about all that shit.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that over here. not at Big Dick Entertainment.
He has been accused of doing gay porn by some people, but through my research, yeah. I cannot find any evidence that has ever actually happened.
Okay, well then that means it ain't real. You know how motherfuckers is in these days and times, if they say it on the internet, that shit real.
Right.
So you are definitely lost already in the social media court of opinion.
But let me ask you this. When you first met Brian Pumper, did he seem like just a badass, cool dude at first, or did you think he was a weird guy from the beginning?
I thought he was weird, but he was cool, man. He was cool. We didn't have no I didn't get no crazy weird vibes from him. He was a regular motherfucker.
Right.
Like most of the shit that you see with Brian Pumper is a character online. Yeah, it's a character.
Right.
But he's a nice guy. He cool as fuck. He paid me $5,000 to host his
Fatties, Rhymes and Dimes. Was it one of them?
Yeah, and it was called Bust a Nut or Die Trying.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy that he actually went into the business of putting out pornos that also included his rap videos.
Yes.
Who wants that? Yeah. Who ever wanted that?
How many videos? I think we probably did like 5-6 videos of that motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah. 5-6 like music videos. I'm inside and shit.
YouTube channel has so many music videos that are all exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all just him in a room with like one girl and he's just rapping in the camera.
Yeah, yeah. But he was ahead of his time.
Right.
And you know, days and times, if it was a new Brian Pumper with that kind of swag.
I'm trying
shit.
To be that.
You want that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think that you and him like would do a great movie together where you know he's down. Teaching you to like you, the ropes inside porn.
Pause. But the thing about me and him that is weird is why does he not shoot porn anymore? It seems very strange to me. He don't have OnlyFans. I know he was like blackballed from like the porn industry at a certain point, but. Why does he not shoot his own content? That's one of the things that I don't really understand anymore.
I couldn't tell you, man. I ain't talked to Brian Pumper in goddamn, like, I want to say like 8 years or something.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't talked to him.
They sent me a video of him getting arrested the other day. I don't know what the hell he's up to.
When it all falls down. Yeah, you know how that shit goes.
So, okay. The life of Jack Thriller these days, though. Right? Maybe I should actually consult my list, because I know that I've seen some fucking random shit about you when I was doing my research.
Oh, it's about you talking about...
Oh, okay, okay. Are you allowed in Atlanta now? Did you ever squash it with 2 Chainz?
Yeah, most definitely,
what
man.
What year did you squash it with 2 Chainz?
What year did we squash it? I would say, shit, 2018 or something like that. I threw up the white flag.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't want no more smoke. Be
in
my 2018, friend.
2018, and he was receptive to it.
He didn't block me on Instagram, so I had took that as that's my boy.
He didn't block you.
He didn't block me.
He unblocked you, or he just
never blocked me.
Oh, so not getting blocked could mean you're on good terms.
Yeah, I think that we're on good terms. I said I'm sorry. I've been trying. I sent some edible arrangements over there and whatnot, and you know, somebody got them and somebody ate them.
Really?
So I'm pretty sure that it's all good now. You know, he got a heart of gold too.
Right.
You know, at the time I just apologize because I was young, dumb, full of cum, and now I'm, you know, half of the cum is gone.
Really?
Yeah. I'm older.
I'm pretty sure it's still in there.
Yeah. I just can't nut like I used to.
Really?
I can't do it.
I don't think I'm experiencing diminishing returns.
Yeah. How old are you now?
36.
Oh, you 36? Yeah. Okay. Cool. And now you're erectile. Dang it, drop of a dime, you can get hard.
Never popped a rhino, never popped a Viagra, Still going strong.
Going strong. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like, oh, like that. Like you, I'm no gummy bear, none of that shit.
Right.
This, oh, no Twinkie.
No, yeah, we're holding it down. Yeah,
yeah, okay, cool, cool.
I got the opposite problem, honestly, if anything, where, I'll just get super real with you. Sometimes,
if you don't mind.
Me and my girl will have a scene planned with another girl, right? So right. It's like noon, it's in my schedule, noon. I gotta fuck my girl and this other girl, right? So I'll just be doing whatever. But I've realized that if me and my girl have sex at 9 a.m., before the 12 o'clock shoot, you mm-hmm. know, if we have sex a couple hours in advance, mm-hmm. then I can go forever when mm-hmm. it comes time to do the content. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that then when I do the cum shot, is less to work with. It's, mm-hmm. it's a smaller nut, basically.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it's a give and take where it's like, you know, you want to be able to produce as much jizz as possible, but you yeah. also want to be able to go as long as possible.
Hey, what do you take for your jizz?
Yeah,
like, do you do any supplements or something like that?
No.
I don't nut like
what
that.
What do you take for your jizz?
Yeah, like, mine kind of clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, is you taking any supplements?
No, I don't.
Right. No, so I don't know, man. I'm trying to get milky again.
Milky?
I'm trying to get a little milky.
What issues you got, bro?
You know what I'm saying? They, like, I want my shit to look like some porno shit.
Yo, that's hard.
Yeah,
yo.
it's a little clear.
But you want to know something, though? Is that the porn industry be setting, like, false expectations for that shit because mm-hmm. a lot of times they be using fake jizz in the videos.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's like this like soap or like shampoo type shit mm-hmm. that looks a lot like it. Mm-hmm. And if you ever see like a weird cut, like when the guy's going like from fucking her to coming in her face or whatever, and sometimes if you see it, they'll edit it so it's like a little flash, and then they show the girl's face and he's jerking off right mm-hmm. in her face, but then there's already this goop on her face from, it's because they already dumped a bunch of this fake jizz on her.
Okay. Okay, I was like, I ain't never nutted that much nut.
No, yeah. Some
never nutted that much nut, man.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something wrong with me.
Too much money is on the line when you're filming a porno scene to just be completely reliant on the guy's actual jizz. You know, you need to get that money shot. It's like, because it happens a lot that they can't get hard and shit. I've heard. It hasn't happened to me yet.
Yeah, yeah. So you saying you be getting hard at the drop of a dime every time?
I don't know about the drop of a dime. Sometimes I make the girls cuddle with me first.
Yeah, I like.
We'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, girls, come on, let's cuddle around. We'll all just nestle up together here for a little bit until we're ready to fuck. You know, you need that person.
I did.
Personality,
I did.
You know?
So you don't mind like being in front of cameras and shit like that? Mm. They don't throw off your concentration even with guys in the room?
It feels like a job. It feels like, but not as bad as a job because it's like a half hour or whatever. It's like, you know, it's just. It don't really. It doesn't feel like anything really, because it doesn't really feel that much like you're having sex either.
But but like even when you like when you see a dude though in a room with you, like they don't kind of throw you off your concentration.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's like a camera guy. He's holding the camera. It's like we're working together.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like I'm looking at this guy. I was like someone who's like doing a service for me. I'm literally paying him. Mm. So I'm, you know, it's like
that's, you were born to do this, man. You're one of those guys.
It occurs to me that because I know for a lot of guys, doing porn is like a really big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And for me, it doesn't feel like anything.
I don't have a porno dick.
Yeah.
I got a regular dick. Like, you know, they say all black guys got big dick. I got a big dick for me.
That's a hurtful stereotype.
Yeah, I got a big dick for me. Like, my dick go with my body.
But you got to feel for all the black guys who don't have anacondas because it's like, the media perpetuates the stereotype that every dude is packing a 10-inch dick. That's kind of unfair.
Yeah, that shit is kind of crazy. I'm 7 inches like a motherfucker in the court, like, you know, a couple of more little centimeters and shit.
I've always felt pretty happy with my penis size, but then when we're, like, working with male porn stars and I'm looking at their shit, I feel like, Jesus
Christ. You look a little inadequate.
I don't even belong in the same league as these guys.
No. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, when I would see that type of shit, I just realized, yo, my dick isn't. Let me put this up.
Right.
Let me put it up.
Yeah.
My dick don't make sense in this scenario.
Throw it away.
Yeah.
So the eye thing though was like a birth defect thing.
I was born blind in my left eye. My mom was smoking marijuana when she was pregnant with me.
You blame it on weed?
I said again.
You blame it on weed?
Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't smoke while you're pregnant with children. No. You shouldn't do that. My girl, my mom was having a hot girl summer before that shit was even a thing.
Damn, because my girl is like, you know, she doesn't smoke weed anyway, but she made me start smoking outside the house when she got pregnant. Mm-hmm. But I always kind of assumed that it wouldn't be that bad.
If no, she smoked my eye out.
Damn.
And then I don't know, you know, she might have been on some other little drugs too, you know.
See that?
I might have a little crack eye.
I mean, if you were smoking crack, I can imagine the baby having a problem because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the '70s, they didn't even know what the fuck crack was, right?
It was a new thing.
Yeah.
It was a new thing, and it caught on fast.
Yeah. You know, I hear a lot of people made money off that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hold that against your mom? You have any deep-seated like resentment towards her?
Sometimes I think I do. Right. Sometimes I think I do. You know, like I'm not the most family-oriented guy. Like I don't spend a lot of, I don't go see my family a lot. I'm a hardcore loner, man.
You are.
Yeah, yeah. And I've never been a mama's boy, daddy's boy, none of that shit. But it sometimes I'm learning how to treat my mama better.
Uh-huh.
You know, these days and shit. And, you know, my mom's a minister, so whenever I would, like, ask for advice about something, she'd always revert to a fucking verse out of the Bible. Like, my mom wanted that shit.
Right.
Just be my mama. Say, be regular. Nobody want to hear no fucking scriptures, and nobody want to hear no hymns or no shit like that. Yeah.
Right.
So that shit can kind of get on my nerves.
Yeah. But do you just accept that about yourself, that you're a loner? Or do you, like, for me, sometimes I feel like I'm a loner, but then I feel like, I'm actually not. I'm just like purposefully sort of like neglecting the relationships that I have in my life because I'm self-absorbed. There's like a fine line between being so self-absorbed that you just ignore all your relationships and being like a loner, like you say, where you just actually, this is who you are, is that you would much prefer to not have human contact?
Yeah, just be like, people get on my nerves, bro. Like you know, you was talking earlier today when you were saying that the older you get, you know, your threshold for bullshit, it just get a little bit lighter. That's where I'm at. I've always been irritated. I've always just been a creative person that wanted to just be alone and study and figure out what my next move was and shit, you know?
Right.
And I just never felt like I could connect and other people was on the same page as me. So, you know, I wasn't always the best friend or family member.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying that you recognize in yourself your own capacity to be an asshole?
Yes, most definitely.
Right.
100%.
Is that something you're working on?
That's something I'm working on. Like right now, I'm much better than I used to be.
Really?
Wouldn't you say so, Gabe?
Absolutely.
So... Right. Okay. So is that where the Duvall friendship sort of devolved? Was that at a certain point you were just kind of being too much of an asshole, or how did that go?
No, he was too much of an asshole.
Okay. Because I watched a video with you and him on This Is 50 the other day.
Yeah.
And he was roasting you pretty hard.
Yeah.
And it was, I was like, this is an interesting relationship. I could definitely see why this sort of fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a leader, but I also was a tremendously great follower.
Mm.
And I just got to the point where I felt like I learned everything that I could learn from him through our friendship and connection and stuff. And I thought that we would be friends longer if I go get my own life.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I would end up moving and everything. But yeah, he can be like, you know, hard to deal with if you be around him too long in life. Mm. You know, these days and times, we go for the jugular.
Mm.
You know, when it comes to disrespecting each other, we take it there. You know, my girl, she seen me and Marlon Wayans talking, roasting each other. And, you know, at the time, Marlon Wayans, his mom was sick, and she hadn't died yet. And we were just making jokes about his mom dying. And my girl was like, what the fuck? Are y'all fucking serious? Why the fuck is this funny? But then, as a comic, you know, there's no limit to what you do, especially behind the scenes when you around other comics. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, after that, after she seen how we interacted with each other, I could say anything I want around her, and I don't have to censor myself anymore.
Right.
And that's what made it easy for me and her to be together. Yeah. Because you got to accept me as I am, and I know I'm a handful.
Yeah. I mean, you ever think about that, though, how there's such a big divide between what you can say publicly and what you can say privately?
Yes. It's weird as fuck.
And it keeps getting bigger.
It keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
And the wild shit about that, Adam, do you know how many motherfuckers feel the way that you do, but they can't say it on TV because they would lose their fucking endorsements and deals and shit? So they feel the same way, but they got a lifestyle. They don't want to fuck that check up.
I'm already like You know, I hold back on a good amount of stuff. But if you're like a guy on NBC,
yeah,
the shit that you are not allowed to say is massive.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will scare the fucking money away.
The other day, me and my girl were watching TV. We're watching some YouTuber girl, and I just went, man, this girl's ugly as fuck. And I just thought about it immediately after I said it. I'm like, I could never say that publicly. Like, if I tweeted that,
yeah,
it would be the next, like, it would be a nuclear holocaust of commentary about the fact that I just said that. And yeah. You know, it's like, but with my girl, I felt like I was okay saying that. Mm-hmm. Actually, my girl was like, oh, I don't think so. You're tripping, rah, rah, rah. You know, she got to stand up for everybody. But, you know, it is weird. All little things like that, like, it's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely, completely different, man. Yeah. You have to watch what the fuck you saying, or you will get your ass in some shit that you can't get out of. And you see how many motherfuckers be having to backtrack and go apologize.
You ever have to apologize?
I apologize to 2 Chainz.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything else, I hadn't after that.
But you never had to hit your notes app and go to Instagram and post, like, you know, my apologies to the LGBTQ community.
Never had to do that. Because I consider myself part of the LGBT community.
Really?
Most definitely.
Why?
I feel like I'm a lesbian.
All that content you did with Brian Palmer?
Yeah, man. Mm. I am all the way a lesbian. I identify as a woman. I like getting ate out, like getting my ass ate.
You do like that? Wow. Yeah,
I love that shit.
A lot of people think that's kind of gay that I've done that so much.
I think it's only kind of gay if you're doing it with a guy.
Yeah, I'm not really, honestly, that into it. I'm just like, whatever, like, I'm fine with it. But I had a video go viral of me getting head from one girl while my girl was eating my ass, and then I switched. And the other one was eating my ass, and my girl was giving me...
Yo!
I did the switcheroo. I turned around.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was pretty proud.
That's what I want to do, Adam. And you switched them around.
I didn't even switch them. I turned around.
Yeah. So I ain't never had a girl. I've never had that shit, man. What does that feel like, getting your ass ate and your dick sucked at the same time? Were you on any cocaine or anything at the time, or you did this with straight up you?
It was with like another very famous, popular porn star. And it was just middle of the day, and I was chilling. And actually, I've lost a bit of weight since then.
Mm.
So when I see that video, it just makes me feel kind of sick. Like, oh my God, like, that's so gross that you put your giant fat ass in that girl's face like that. Like, it would be a little bit more pleasant now that you've lost some weight. But you know,
Yeah, I sit on girls' faces, all that shit.
Oh, really?
Yes, most definitely. I get on all fours if I got to.
God.
Yeah,
so
you're
really like a booty eating bandit.
Yeah, most definitely.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God.
I'd be having hoes eating me out like Puppet Chow.
You know what's funny? When you search Jack Thriller,
yeah,
it's like mostly you, but some Michael Jackson.
Yeah!
Random songs from the Thriller music video. Yeah, just like a little bit of MJ in there.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm a genius.
Yeah.
That Michael Jackson, the most famous motherfucker that ever walked this earth.
There it is.
Let's not get it misunderstood. That Chris Brown is not the new Michael Jackson. Beyonce ain't known the Michael Jackson level. Nobody's on Michael Jackson level. You can't compare him to anybody.
Mm.
I hate it with that this generation is like compares people to Michael Jackson. He's in a class by himself.
Yeah. It's
not the same.
Who could you even think would come close to being in the Michael Jackson category?
Nobody.
You can't even say that like Drake's got like a percentage of what MJ accomplished or like who he was.
Exactly.
He's probably the closest thing, I would think, in terms of building like a long-term impressive career filled with hits.
Mm-hmm.
Huge megastar.
Yep. He was just a good guy too.
Yeah,
he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for giving to doing the most philanthropy and whatnot, and get millions and millions and millions of dollars.
So you don't go for the accusations?
No, not at all.
You don't buy it?
No, people like you know how they do smear campaigns on somebody right now if they're doing some bullshit and whatnot. I believe it was real companies paying to say that Michael Jackson was a pedophile and was molesting kids. It was people paying to take his name down and smear him. I don't think he ever ever. I don't believe that at all, yeah, that he ever hurt a kid or did some bullshit like that. And I know people that actually been in that house with him and slept in the beds and all that shit. Uh-huh. And when they was kids and stuff, and he never touched them.
Interesting.
He never fucking touched them.
Right.
You know, like Dave Chappelle even said inside his stand-up. You know that he just think that Michael Jackson wants to show off all his toys and be the coolest guy and make the kids want to dream and shit and be inspired. He gets off on that. Right. Just helping people and making them happy and changing their life, inspiring motherfuckers. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because inside of a world where everybody is going through their little mental issues and depression and Michael Jackson always put a smile on people's face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when he died, he did enough on earth.
Right.
He did it like nobody was ever do that after him, from the having the fucking roller coasters in his yard, giraffes and all that. Who had that shit, man? Right. Who had monkeys putting on clothes? Who had an oxygen chamber?
Who had his own
goddamn? He had his own fucking outfits that you know that you dressing like Michael Jackson if you put that on.
Right.
You had his own dance. Like if somebody do it, you know that person is doing the Michael Jackson dance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was just one of a fucking kind.
Yeah.
He looked different. He changed his look five different times and it caught on. He was the master of reinventing himself.
Right.
Most inspirational dude that ever walked the earth. We love you, Michael, wherever you are.
I'm sold. Shout out, Michael.
Yeah.
Wait, but is that where the Jack Thriller name came from?
That's exactly where it came from. The Thriller part, T.I. Actually named me Jack because when I was going by Honey Bun, he was tired of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
T.I. was.
Yeah, he definitely.
And
yeah.
Who was T.I. to you at that time? Because T.I. blew up, what, 2003, 4?
This happened in 2009, just before I moved to New York.
Oh, okay.
And you found out who I was.
He was already T.I., okay.
Oh, yeah, he was T.I. And, yeah, he was about to get ready to go back to jail and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And
this
was right before that.
You ever buy a gun from T.I.?
Oh, I tried to buy guns from him. His guns are so unaffordable.
I know.
Yeah, he on another level and whatnot.
Like superhero guns.
He want to be impressive when he shoot motherfuckers.
I wanted, when I was at T.I.'s video shoot the other day, it crossed my mind very briefly, like, I should say something about like, you know, I'm trying to cop a hammer.
He would have loved it.
You think he would have loved that? Man, I think he would have been like, man, why are you bringing up my case from 10 years ago?
Let me tell you something. Asshole. T.I. is one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially you see him being charismatic on camera, but he's really, really, really funny off camera too. Just a great guy, man.
Really?
Yeah, he got a good sense of humor. He know what you do and who you are. He love you, Adam.
He was fucking with me. The people haven't seen the vlog yet, but when they see it, they're going to be like, oh, damn. Like, because he put my balls on the fucking coals for a second. Like he tries to like pull my card a little bit. But
wait, what did he say to you, man?
I was just like, you know, going back and forth a little. You'll see.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Fun though. I had fun.
Okay. Gotcha. You
know. Yeah. So what are you up to? What's going on?
Man, right now it's
just
all
selling
about this
pizza. Weed
pizza? Yes, and I'm doing it on private jets too, bro.
On private jets.
On private jets. I'm over here delivering it to my celebrity friends like Adam 22, like Twista, Shannon Briggs.
How are you keeping these things warm or
well, listen, I got this pizza warmer that like they have in Domino's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I bake the pizzas and everything, put them inside the warmer and whatnot, and take it straight over to people's house right after off the jet, man.
You know, is it different going from being a guy who was making money off of your personality towards now you're like really just trying to push a product? It's a little bit different than producing content versus pushing a product. Like, does it feel like a switch in your brain?
I feel like I'm going through I'm using my personality to sell the product.
Right.
And I feel like right now I'm going through my George Foreman phase.
Mm. Oh, you do know, look a lot like George Foreman.
This is my
Foreman,
grill. You
have a vibe like him, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
You like me, right?
You like me, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a good guy. Yeah, and so I got the stone pizza now, man. It's canvas infused pizza, man. It's so delicious. It doesn't taste like weed.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't smell like weed, but it hits you, and you know, you have you with one of those like a really great body high.
Right. I mean, I just ate lunch, so I didn't actually finish the whole slice, but I definitely do have a nice solid body high going right now.
Yeah. It's sexy, man, and the women like it because you hit two things. One, you get them them high and you're feeding them
right.
at the same time.
That's all these women want. Right?
That's all they want, man. They want you to get them high. They want to get fed, and they want you to just pay them some attention.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing right now at the house, man. You know, getting them inside my jacuzzi. Mm. You know, getting them on that comfortable couch, taking them in the backyard.
Yeah, baby, would you like to smoke some pizza? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Let me feed you, baby. Would you like some ice cream? Mm. Would you like a cannoli, a brownie, some cookies? Do you want some sticky icky wings? Some garlic knots?
These girls in LA though, they don't be eating nothing.
Yeah, they don't eat that shit.
Cocaine
like that.
And juice.
Cocaine and juice. Rolling down the street, snorting cocaine, sipping on gin and juice.
That's real. You ever snort cocaine?
Say it again.
You ever snort cocaine?
No, I never got a chance to.
Yeah.
But if I did, I would like to. I have to have certain people that I would love to snort cocaine with.
Who?
DMX? Most definitely. I would love it. I would snort cocaine with DMX, definitely.
Me too, for sure.
Yeah, I would.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, gotta do
but
that.
But he's gonna put you to shame to yep. an extent. Like, he's gonna do 10 times what you do.
Yes, most definitely. I would love to snort cocaine with Donald Trump.
He was the person that came to mind for me, too. Next.
Yeah, I just want to hear this stupid shit.
Because they think that he's snorting Adderall.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hey.
Yeah, yeah. So I know he's fun high. He fun when he ain't high.
Mm.
Let me see who else out. Rick James.
Mm.
Yeah. Will Smith. Yeah. Cat Williams.
Mm.
It's Michael Jackson. Wesley Snipes.
I don't do cocaine. If I did and I had some with me, would you do it with me just because it would be a good story?
You know what? Yes, Adam.
I used to fuck around for
yes,
sure.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Damn, that's good to know.
You my boy.
I got some mushroom chocolates. We could get trippy. I ate some yesterday.
Yeah. We could do that too, Adam. I'm in.
I'm not doing that again. I did that the other day.
Hey, man, I was like, yeah, man, I don't want to do this shit. Don't bring them out now.
No.
Yeah, I'm cool on
what
that.
What about just hitting the blunt? We'll just get you high as fuck.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. I done smoked with a lot of cool people, man.
Uncle
Who the
Jack.
Coolest person you ever smoked with?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, like, fucking a lot of rappers, I guess. Like, but then there's, like, a lot of rappers that I've been around a lot. Like, I've been around Young Thug a lot, but I never, like, smoked with Young Thug.
You never smoked with him, okay.
You know, I've, like, been around Chief Keef when he was smoking blunts, and I was smoking my blunt, but I never, like, smoked a blunt with Chief Keef. But that's also some rapper shit is that once you reach a certain level, you ain't really passing the blunt anymore, I feel like.
Yeah. I smoked with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I never did that. That's the most iconic one I think you can get.
Yeah, you can't get no more iconic than that. I smoked with Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
I smoked with Raekwon.
Yeah.
I smoked with Method Man.
I smoked with Tommy Chong.
That's dope.
He had his own shit, though. Like, he had his own little rolled up.
Oh, wow.
I had a blunt, yeah.
No, you did your thing on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I smoked with a lot of cool-ass motherfuckers, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Wiz Khalifa kicks you out the studio if you're smoking tobacco, though.
For, as he should. Yeah. I don't like the smell of that shit either.
You know what I mean? Spliff a backwood?
Yeah.
I don't think he likes backwoods being rolled around his
really?
His environment. I don't think. His papers only.
Wow.
That's his thing.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, he's got his own little mission. He created his world. He created his own world.
Yeah.
You know, what's the Adam 22 rules over here? What will get you kicked out?
Don't pass me no Sherm blunts, and we cool.
That's
you ever smoke Sherm?
Nah, I never got a chance.
Damn. You know what I said? I said I would only smoke Sherm if it was with RZA.
Yeah.
Or any original Wu-Tang member, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that one, bro.
I'll be running around in my backyard naked and shit.
Man, yo, God, but I do that too.
Already do that?
Yeah, I do that too.
You're that guy in Harlem?
I done got my dick sucked in my backyard. I got a fun backyard, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm coming to Harlem. I'm going to the backyard.
It's
some
nice,
sloppy
man.
Top. Yeah.
Like, yeah. We're gonna have a good time.
Let's do it.
Yeah, one hell of a high Scarface, baby.
Me, Jack Thriller, Brian Pumper, Private Jet.
I like it.
Harlem to Hollywood.
Let's do it, man.
All right, so we push a pizza, Jack Thriller. Where should they go, I guess, if they want to keep up on what you got going on?
Yeah, man, please order Stone Pizza. If you want to order for Stone Pizza, it's at Pizza Pusha, P-I-Z-Z-A-P-U-S-H-A. And follow Jack Thriller at Jack Thriller. Stone Pizza. Hey, we're looking for investors. If we're looking for somebody, if you got $12 million, we're trying to open up 10 stoves and shit. And that's what type of deals we're taking. You know, only people we do some one-off shit with is definitely my man, Adam 22. Yo, you like the pizza, right?
That was hard, yeah. I actually really fuck with it.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. It's a delicious pizza, man. I really fuck with y'all. Thank y'all for having me on your podcast, man. This is
22.com.
Woo! Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. Jack Thriller. Baby! Let's go.
Hey, did you take a picture of us again? Let me get one of these right here.
Oh, I got to get one right here. Yeah.